Hear now the word of the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being from him was life, and the life was the light of all the people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This is the Word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. It was as early as the 4th century, somewhere around the early 300s, when the church began to celebrate the birth of Christ near the winter solstice. Now, if I believe, was it Wednesday of this week we had the winter solstice, the longest day of night that we have, and every day since, getting a little more light. A little more light. The church decided early on that we would celebrate Jesus' birthday then, not on the solstice, but after it. There are conflicting ideas that are out in church history as to exactly why, but one of those was that there was a pagan festival to the god of the sun during this time, you know, hoping the sun would come back. But the church wanted the people who believed in God, in Christ, to know that Christ is the light, what John's gospel says, just as we just read. The light coming into the world, and that because he came into the world, the light of his love, his grace, his forgiveness becomes a part of who we are. And we live more fully each day with more and more light. Isn't that beautiful? I love the history of the church, standing in the middle of the church to offer the gospel lesson, living out the fact that God is with us and among us. Now, this text from John's gospel is rife with images. We could probably preach for a very long time. Don't worry. I know it's Christmas. My ham is in the oven. But we're going to take just a look at three small things within this text this morning. First, in addition to noticing the light and darkness, John's gospel is known for that, the contrast between light and darkness. As people were beginning to come to know Jesus Christ, John's gospel was written around 90, just before the turn of the century. And they were beginning to say that there are particular ways you live. There are particular things you think, things you do, the way you speak. If you belong to Jesus, you do these things. So they begin to make strong contrast on what the life with Christ meant and what the life without Christ, how that looked. So light and darkness is huge in John's gospel. Jesus, the light, as we said, coming into the world. First thing to notice. Secondly, I want us to notice how it mentions in here John the Baptist. It tells us that he was not the light. If you've done any reading in the Gospels, you know that they all mention John the Baptist, and they talk about his unique personality. There were people who even thought he might be the Messiah. But not once did John ever say he was. He said, "No, I'm the one to come before to prepare the way for the Messiah." And we talked about the question even when John had doubts and wondered if Jesus indeed was the Messiah. John's role was to witness to the light. For in this gospel of John, we see Jesus presented as light, as Word, capital W. And John was to witness to him. And it strikes me that that is one of our roles as followers, believers in Jesus Christ, that we become those who witness to him, to the world. That's why people notice the way we act. They notice how we treat one another, how we treat others. We're not all alike. Nobody voted the same way. Nobody has the same education, the same background. But our goal in life is to live in relationship with God and one another in such a way that it is distinctive, that it witnesses to the life of Jesus Christ. It is as if that phrase we may have heard many times, people know to whom we belong. It's almost like a family name, isn't it? Belonging to God. This scripture even told us when Christ came, he gave us the power to become children of God. Now that's an important part of this prologue in John's gospel. It's going to be explored in other chapters. But what it's saying there is reminding us that first of all, we are all children of God, but the power God gives us is to accept that, to claim that we are children of God, and then we live in such a way as to witness to him. Lastly, I want us to notice in this scripture how it mentions God with us. The light is with us. Jesus spoke about light. He said in Matthew's 5th chapter, "You are the light of the world." He says, "Nobody takes a lamp and puts it under a basket, but we put it out where all can see." That's the witnessing part. Jesus later says, "I am the light of the world," and we are to spread the light. We become that light, that love, that kind of relationship and care and compassion for God and others that God shows us. God with us. In about 3 of my appointments, I was very blessed to lead a cherub choir. That would be the choir of the very youngest in the singers. It was usually age 3 and 4. And we got to teach them all those wonderful songs. If you grew up in church, you know all the little songs you learned right out of scripture. You learned them and you sang them and you began to know the stories and everything about Zacchaeus being a wee little man, all those things. So I got to lead those choirs, and it was always my joy to teach them, the songs that I grew up with as well as new ones. And the easy way to start with children, particularly the youngest ones, would be to do songs that have a lot of repetition in them. This is why they ask us, we tell them a story, and they say, "Tell it again, and tell it again," and we are tired of telling it. They're learning it. So the songs with a repetition are ones good places to begin. And I remember teaching many of those songs with the repetitive words in it. One day, I received a call from a very distraught mother. And she said, "Pastor Jenny, I need you to talk to Jane. She's inconsolable. She keeps saying, 'God is gone. He's gone. He's gone. He's gone.'" And I tell her, "No, he's not. He's here." And she said, keeps saying something about a song. Now, you should know that she had a 3.5-year-old daughter and a brand new baby boy. So already we know she's sleep deprived, and then the little girl becomes inconsolable, saying, "God is gone. He's not here. He's not here." And nothing she said would help. So I said, "Well, let me just pop over there and I'll see you and hope a baby and talk to Jane." So I went over to see Jill and Russell and Jane and Brian. And we began talking, and all Jane would keep saying, God is gone. He's gone. He's gone. He's not here. And so I said, well, why are you saying this? She said, this song, Pastor Jenny, the song. And it was this song, and I bet you know it. Do Lord, oh, do Lord, oh, do you remember me? You know, and you sing that like, I don't know how many times, four or five times. And then you get to the end. Way beyond the blue. The only thing how Jane had heard that was, do Lord, oh, do you remember me? A bunch of times. Way behind the glue. And her glue bottle was empty. And her mama recycled the bottle. And God was gone, she said. He was behind the glue. We finally figured that one out and began to talk as best, well, we probably understand it as well as three-year-olds do, that beyond the blue, God is with us. That's what we talked about. God is with us. I've never forgotten that, how those words behind the glue made her think that God was gone. John's gospel this morning has no manger, has no angels, no babe lying there, but it has Christ's visions of word and light. It tells us he's with us. Not probably not news that we did not know, but it's good news. God is behind the glue, and he's here with us always. Let that be our light. Let that be the source of our joy, the depth of our hope. Christ is born. He is with us. Glory to God. Amen. And amen.